Christian songs are the right songs because they're the only ones that never grow old. Amen. Somebody told me one time, said there's something good about hillbilly records. Now, if you're a hillbilly, take non-offense. But they said the good thing about hillbilly records is you can never tell when they wore out. Because they always sound the same. Amen. But when you sing those songs about Jesus, they never wear out. How many times have you sung Amazing Grace? Yet it's just as sweet and real. And every time you sing it, it gets just that much more precious to you. And you realize how wonderful the grace of God really is. What it's done for us. What it's brought us through. Not only that, what it's going to do for us in days to come. And Acts chapter 11, beginning to read in verse 22. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Even he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, much people were added unto the Lord. Barnabas was a great man. That statement made about him is made about him and nobody else in the Bible. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And that's something great for God to record about a man. Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Let's bow our heads for prayer. We begin the message today. Our Father, we thank thee once again for the grace that taught and found us. We thank you, Lord, that you not only give us grace to save us, but you give us grace to endure and to bear the things we have to do in this life. We're thankful that we can say that, as Paul once said, thy grace is sufficient for me. Lord, help us to realize that your grace is sufficient for anything that we have to bear in this life. Help us to lean on it. Help us to rely on it and trust in it more than we have. I pray today that you'll bless this message and speak your heart to each one that is here. And I know that probably most of the people here are saved and are born again. And yet maybe there's somebody here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ in a real way. He's never truly been saved and born again. May you speak to their heart and show them their need of Jesus Christ and make the day that he's saved. Bless the hearts of those Christians that are here, strengthen them, feed them through the Word of God. Undertake, and I pray that you'd lift them up, bless them, and take care of them in this life. May the hearts be used, and may it be blessed today. May the Word of God be used to meet every need of every person that's here, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to call your attention to verse 26. The end of the verse, and the Bible said that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This morning I want to bring a message on a Christian and talk some things and say some things about a Christian. Now today, when we use the word Christian, it's a very loose word and a term applied to many a people. I got thinking about preaching a message like this the other day. I was over at the spa and I was there with a fellow witnessing to him. And he was a Christian Unitarian, I believe is what he said. And he believed in the Christian Science Church, and he believed in a Unitarian Church and one thing and then another. And I got talking to him, and I asked him, are you a Christian? And he said, oh, yes, I believe in the Christian Scientist, and I believe in the Unitarian Church. I'd say that I was. And I got talking to him about the Lord and about one thing and another. And I said, what do you think a person has to do in order to get to heaven? And he went on how heaven is not a real place, just a state of mind, you know, Christian scientists, so forth and so on. And he went on in that, and I said, you know, it's funny, and what he used to prove it was he quoted Jesus and said some things that Jesus said. And I said, it's funny that you quote Jesus, and yet you say in the same words that heaven is not a real place and hell is not a real place, and yet when Jesus preached, he preached more about hell than any man in the Bible does. And I said, when he talked about it, Jesus never one time gave you any idea that it was anything but a literal place. And I said, you call yourself a Christian, and yet you don't even believe what Jesus Christ himself said. And the word today, Christian, has become to apply to anybody, anywhere. A Christian scientist, they're a Christian, an atheist. We have Christian atheists now, and it seems kind of funny to associate the word with them, but they want to be grouped that way. Today, the term Christian is applied to anybody who believes something. Amen? You have to believe the Bible, you have to believe about Jesus Christ, but to believe anything. I went up talking to this fella, and he said, after all, he said, what is more real than your mind? You know, he said, that's the real essence of man, your mind. I said, your body is pretty real. Amen? And I said, Jesus said, it's better to cut your hand off and pluck your eye out of one foot than to go into hell, to be damned forever. And he said, you know, he said, that's something there. I said, yeah, you better think about that a little bit, amen? And he didn't have any answer for it, but today I want to talk about a Christian. The word Christian is found three times in your Bible. It's found in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. It's found in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And it's found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, where the Bible says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. The Bible says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, the first thing I want to say is this. I want to say what you can be without being a Christian. Now, when I talk about a Christian, I'm using the Bible definition of the word. A Christian in the Bible is somebody who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted them as their personal Savior and has decided to follow Jesus and live as close to his life as they can. In the Bible, a Christian is somebody who has been born again of the Spirit of God. In the Bible, a Christian is one whom, like the disciples, has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, what can you be without being a Christian? The first thing you can be is you can be raised in a family or in a home where Christianity is taught, and that doesn't ensure that you'll be a Christian. A lot of people think that because their mother and father are Christians, they're Christians. A lot of people think that because their mother and father was saved, they're saved. A lot of people think that because mommy and daddy was religious, they're religious, and they kind of adapt mommy and daddy's religion, but you cannot live on their salvation nor on their religion. Your mother and father, being a Christian, does not guarantee the fact that you yourself are a Christian. You'll be surprised how many people in this world that think because they were raised in a Christian home that they themselves are a Christian. They think that because they were brought up in church that they themselves are a Christian. Not long ago, I talked to a man in the hospital, and I witnessed to him, and I said, have you ever been saved? And he said, well, I don't exactly know what you mean by being saved. So I thought I'd try to talk to him in something he would understand. I said, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. That's unusual that a Christian doesn't know what the word saved means, amen? It's just strange to me, so I got kind of nosy, and I said, well, that's good that you're a Christian. I said, tell me when you got saved. And again, he did not understand my vocabulary, and he said, well, I don't understand when you get saved. I said, well, how long have you been a Christian? Oh, he said, I've been a Christian all of my life. Ever since I was born, my mother and father were Christians. They sprinkled me as a baby, and I've been a Christian ever since I was born in this life. Needless to say, I had a few words to say to him. Amen. I told him, I said, your mother and father being religious doesn't guarantee you being a Christian, and somebody taking a little water and throwing it on your head as a baby doesn't guarantee that you'll be saved. Amen. Throwing water on you has absolutely nothing to do with it. Listen, your mother and father may be a Christian, but it doesn't guarantee you that you will be a Christian. You can have a religious family and not be a Christian, and not only that, you can be a church member and not be a Christian. You can be a church member and not be a Christian. How many people in this world do you know that belong to church and yet do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior? You can be a church member and be a member of a church and not be a Christian. Before I was saved, I was a member of the church. Before I was saved, I belonged to the Southern Baptist Church. And after I got saved, I joined the Bible-believing church. Amen? Kind of like the little boy selling kittens on the corner. Come on by one day, and the man said, what kind of kittens you got? I said, they're Methodist. Methodist kittens, you know, little kid, you know, what kind are they? Figured, you know, religion did anything. The fellow walked on down the street a few weeks later, he come back, and he said, "What kind of kittens you got now?" And he said, "Baptist." And he said, "I thought you said they was Methodist." He said, "Yes, they were before they got their eyes open." And that's the way a lot of people are in this world, amen? They're living in darkness, their eyes are shut and they're blind. They're living in the world thinking that their religion can get them to heaven, trusting the fact that they're a member of the church can bring them inside the gates of heaven. And nowhere in the Bible does it talk about a church being able to save anybody, for it's not recorded in the Scripture and the Word of God. Let me tell you, you may be a member of the church, you may be a good member, you may go there every Sunday and put your tithes in and die and go straight to hell and burn for all eternity. Listen, hell is going to be so crowded with religious people, you'll have to kick them out of the way to find room to go. Hell is going to be full of people that are religious. Let me tell you, being a member of a church doesn't assure you of the fact that you're a Christian. I'll tell you something else you can do. You can be baptized and not be a Christian. Before I was saved, I was baptized, and I was not a Christian. If you asked me if I was saved, I would say yes. Because I thought getting baptized was getting saved. I thought when a person got baptized, it meant that they got saved. I'll never forget the first time I ever dealt with the Church of Christ, isn't it? And a lot of your Church of Christ are not honest as some are. But this person believed that baptism was salvation, that in order to be saved, you had to be baptized. And I didn't know much scripture. And I'll tell you, I'm telling you the truth, it was a woman. And she just pinned my back to the wall, and I didn't really have nothing to say. And I finally just made a mess of the thing, and left with some scripture and went on home. And after that, I got saying, Lord willing, that'll never happen again. I got home and I got studying me some scriptures. I got the word baptism. I looked it up every time in the Bible. I got studying. I asked questions I could ask about it. And then the next time I run into a church of Christ, somebody needing water baptism, I was just praying that the Lord would give me one to run into. And I found one. And this time it was a man. I'm so glad it's a man. I hate that. You know, sometimes you deal with a woman, make her look silly. It doesn't do anything for you. But you deal with a man, you deal. Not that, you know, no head on with the women there, amen. I like women. My mother was one, amen. Anyway, I got this fellow, and I got him there, and I got talking to him about salvation and baptism, and he gave me, you know, believe me, baptized, be saved, believe not, you be damned, and all of it, Acts 2 and everything like that. And I said, "You really believe that somebody goes into that water that they're saved?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do." And I said, "Well, let me ask you this. Why do you believe washes somebody's sins away?" And I had an answer. I had it. So there's nothing in the Bible ever indicating anything washes sins away but the blood of Jesus. Okay. And then he said, "I believe the blood of Jesus washes them away." I said, "In other words, you believe when you get in the water that water turns into blood and it washes your sins away. All you are is a Catholic with a different name. Is that right?" You talk about getting mad. Woo! Man, did he get. So they don't like to be called Catholic, amen? They don't like to be referred to as that. They don't like to have that name tagged on them. But you know what? I came to the point where that fella actually admitted that when he got baptized, he believed that they contacted the blood of Jesus Christ in the baptismal water. And you know what? He had baptized and get you to heaven. It's not the water that flows in the water in Maine. It's the blood that runs through Emmanuel's vein. Amen? You can talk about the water all you want. You can be baptized all you want. People in the Bible got baptized and died and went to hell. Being baptized won't make you a Christian. I'll tell you something else. Believing won't make you a Christian. You say, "Brother Jim, I thought you believed in the Lord Jesus." Yeah. But I didn't say believing in Jesus wouldn't make you a Christian. I said believing won't make you a Christian. Some people believe about God. They believe about Jesus. They believe about his death, burial, and resurrection. But they do not believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, that chair that you're sitting in this morning, when you came up and looked at it, you may have not thought about it, but you looked at it. You said, "I believe that chair will hold me. I believe it is structured well and made so that it will hold me."
7 years left, and I was going to be 29.
And looked at the chair and said, I believe it'll hold me. And you could have believed till you were blue in the face that you would have never known where that chair would hold you up until you sat down in it. And with Jesus Christ, it's the same way. You can believe about him. You can believe about his death, believe about his burial, and believe about his resurrection. But unless you, as an individual, receive him personally as your Savior, you are not a Christian. You've never been saved. The Bible lays it out and tells us that. The Bible tells us that the devils believe, but they tremble for fear. They believe in God. They believe in the Bible. They believe Jesus Christ. But they don't believe on him as a Savior. And you can believe. You can believe all about the Bible. Now, I've run into many people that believe up there. I've run into men, women, that believe the Bible, believe Jesus is the Savior, or believe everything that they will not accept him as the Savior. You can do all of that. You can be raised in a Christian home. You can be a church member. You can be baptized without being a Christian. You can believe. Not only that, you can do a lot of good works without being saved. You can be a very moral, upright citizen without being saved. A lot of people like that. A lot of people in this life that are lost people that have higher standards of living than a lot of Christian people. They have a higher code of ethics than a lot of Christian people on the face of this earth. But your good works can never get you to heaven. No matter how good you are, the Bible says that the very best you can do, all righteousness is but filthy rags in the sight of God. The very best you can do looks like a dirty rag in the sight of God. That's the best. That's the best. Not only that, something else you can do. You can be a preacher without being a Christian. You say, I don't believe it. You haven't read your Bible. And you haven't listened to many preachers. Amen. You can be a preacher without being a Christian. You can be a preacher without ever having been saved and born again. The Bible says in Corinthians that do not deceive, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, and that Satan has his ministers as well as God. You can do all of these things and not become a Christian. All of that, you can be sincere in what you believe and not be a Christian. You know why? Because you can be sincere and yet be wrong. I asked you, was Adolf Hitler sincere? You never seen a more sincere man in your life? Was he wrong? Amen. Amen. And amen. You can be sincere and wrong. You ever think about that? You said, well, I'm sincere in what I believe and what I'm doing. So was Nancy. Very sincere in what he did. Thoroughly. So was Chuck, the fellow that killed all the Nancy. He was sincere. He meant business. He meant it enough that he took the life of him. But he was wrong. Listen to me. You can be sincerely wrong in your life. What you can be without a Christian, you can be all of these things. Years ago, a man was on a train riding with a lady, and the woman had a little child. She had never been on a train before, and she didn't know exactly what to do and where to get off. The fellow rode the train all the time. He saw that she was nervous. He said, now don't be upset and don't worry. He said, I ride this train all the time on this route, and he said, I know every stop on it. And he said, when you come to your stop, I'll tell you. And he said, you can just get up. He said, I know every stop that works. Went on down the track, and he reassured it. And finally, they come to a stop. He said, this is your stop. Get up. She went there. She got there between the cars, got off. And when she got off, the train took up and went on down the road. A little bit later on, they stopped. When they did, the man comes walking down through the car. And he announced the city. And he announced the stop where that woman was just supposed to get off of. And the man sitting there said, wait a minute. So when we just made a stop back up the track, he said, wasn't that that city? The man said, no. So we just stopped there to get some water and some wood. So that's an old deserted train station, so there's nobody around there within 15 minutes. And it was the winter time, and it was cold. And they went back there and found that mother and the baby curled up, frozen to death. And you know what?
That fellow was sincere. He thought he was doing right. But he was as wrong as anybody would ever live. You can be sincere and be wrong.
What you can do and not be a Christian? Now, I want to say this. What you must do to become a Christian. What you must do to become a Christian. Now, what you must do to become a Christian, the Bible said it is finished. Jesus has done all that needs to be done. And becoming a Christian is as easy as ABC. It's as easy as realizing you're a sinner, reasoning that you can't save yourself, repenting of your sins, recognizing that Jesus is the one that can save you, and receiving as your Savior. Being a Christian is not something hard that nobody can do. If God loves us enough to die for us, He's not going to make it hard for us to get to Him. It's simple. Salvation has to be so simple that everybody can understand it, and salvation has to be so simple that everybody can do it. I know that the gospels that a lot of men preach are false gospels because of the fact that not everybody could do it. They couldn't. What if somebody said, in order to get saved, you have to be baptized? What about somebody in an arm lung? They couldn't get baptized. Huh? What about some people that have such a fear of water, they would never be baptized? What are you going to do with them? What if God said, in order to get to heaven, you could never watch television? See, it wouldn't be fair. What if God said, in order to get to heaven, you could never smoke, nor drink, nor curse, nor have a dirty thought, nor stretch the truth, nor tell a little white lie, nor deceive somebody? What if God said that? Nobody makes it. Nobody makes it. God set salvation up so that it's so simple that anybody, anywhere can do it. And that is the only salvation that is in consistency with God himself. God has made salvation so everybody can come to Him, and then simply by faith. Lee Robinson one night was home, and he got a call at night, like a lot of preachers do. He answered the phone, and that's a thrill for a preacher about 2 o'clock in the morning. Rain, rain, rain. You pick the thing up, you asleep and awake, you think you're dreaming, you don't know what's happening. You pick that thing up and, hello? And then immediately the person that calls you is wide awake, so they wouldn't be calling you anyway. They're wide awake, and they just again jump into something, run 90 miles an hour. And you, wait a minute, run that by again. You gotta have to slow up and think. And Lee Robinson picked up the phone, and somebody said real frantically, said, somebody down here sick at the hospital or getting ready to die, you gotta come down and see it. And he said, well, who is it? Said, well, is he come out of the church? No, I don't come to church. Is your friend somebody? No, I don't know. Who's this? You don't know me either. And the fellow said, this guy down here dying, you just got to come see it. And, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, you may want to slough it off on some other preacher. Say, call so-and-so. He's usually up at this time, you know. He stays up later, something like that. Lee Robinson said, I went ahead and said, all right, I'll be there. What hospital is it in? And, you know, you got a church like him, you got 3,000 or 4,000 people coming. You got all you can do to take care of your people, see. And then somebody else calls, don't know nobody, know nothing. They're just, you're a preacher in the book, just let me say goodbye and say, there you are, you come. And you say, they don't do that. Oh, you wait. Man, I had one call me the other day, didn't know me from nobody. He didn't want nothing either. And he just talking on the phone. And I said, how'd you get my name? He said, well, I just found you in the book. Look in the book, amen. See, let his fingers do the walking, amen. His mouth did the talking after that. And we, anyway, Paulie, he went to the hospital, went there and got the fellow's name, and they said he's in here in intensive care. Went in, said they had a sheet up over his head, because he was dead already. And he said he never seen so much blood in all of his life. So the fellow was covered in it, the sheet was soaked, he said all on the floor, on both sides, it was running off of it, running on the floor. He said, what in the world happened? He said he got in a fight, and somebody slit his throat from ear to ear. So just took a razor, and just laid him down, and went, just like that. So just slid him ear to ear. And he said, was he conscious? He said, yeah, he's just laying there in the bed. And I went over there and he said, it almost made him sick. So just all that
so they just kept running off of them. They couldn't stop the bleeding. And so they was trying to get an IV in, trying to put blood in, thinking it was going out. And he said, I know whether he's going to make a headway or not. But he said, I don't know as a fellow. And he said, I told him I was a preacher. And he said, I don't know you. I don't talk to you. Mm-hmm. Brother Robin said, oh, good, man. I got up here at 2 o'clock in the morning, come see somebody just see spit in my face, and you know, see me. I don't know how to talk to you. The fellow said, well, I'm a preacher, and you need to hear about Jesus, and you're in pretty bad shape. The fellow said, yeah, I'm in bad shape, but it's too late for me. He said, I've been too mean, too rough. He said, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't even talk to me. Robinson said, don't matter who you are, what you've been, but Jesus is able to save you, he's able to forgive your sin. Robinson said, I didn't know nothing else, so I just told him I could see that died on the cross next to Jesus. But he's in about the same condition you were. He did a lot of things that was bad in his life. And yet he turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when I was coming through my kingdom. So Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise today. The fellow kind of looked at him and said, you really want it to really happen like that? He went around and said, yeah, it happens like that. Said, God took him on to paradise with him. He said, yeah. Said, he went to paradise that day. Yeah. And he said, well, I guess if he could do that for him, he might be able to do it for me. And said, Mike, so Brother Robinson gave him some more scripture on salvation. Anybody can be saved, whosoever will. And the fellow said, well, he said, don't look like I'm going to make it, but I've been cut pretty bad this time. And Brother Robinson said, it was funny, but it wasn't funny. The fellow said, I've been cut pretty bad from ear to ear. That's pretty bad. And he said, yeah, you're in pretty rough shape. And said, you better get some things straightened out. So the fellow said, I guess I have. And he began to cry and broke down and said, you know, had some people who were Christian. He knew he should have been a Christian all along. And he was just really blown off. He didn't mean he didn't want him to come. Really wanted him to come. Started crying. The fellow got saved after on the bed. And he accepted the Lord as his Savior. Brother Robinson stayed there, and he said it was worth getting up at 2 o'clock every day if something like that could happen. Amen. And he said, I talked to him and prayed with him and said, the doctors wouldn't let me stay much longer. He said, I took his hand and said, I'll meet you inside the eastern gate. And he said, I'll see you there. And he said, I'll see you there, preacher. He said, never thought I would, but no, I'm going now. Robinson left and went home and told his wife about it. Several weeks later, gave an invitation in church, and some fellow come down the aisle, took his hand, said, I got saved, and I want to get baptized. And Robinson looked at him and said, all right. So when did you get saved? Said, I got saved in the hospital. And Robinson said, well, when did this happen? The fellow said, you look at me real close, and you might remember. And the fellow said, Robin said, you were a man in the hospital was cut. He said, yes, sir. He had his head back and there was a scar from ear to ear. And he said, somewhere or another, I got me patched up and I lived. And he said, God was good enough to bring me out, and God was good enough to save me, so I'm going to get baptized and I'm going to follow him. Now, you know what? Christianity, being a Christian, is set up that way. It's set up so that anybody, anywhere that really turns to Jesus, can get saved. What must you do to become a Christian? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Last of all, I say this. What do you miss? What do you miss by not being a Christian? What do you miss? And we don't have 20 hours to run through it, so I don't know how I'm going to say it, but you miss everything in this life that's worth anything if you're not a Christian. You miss joy. By far, you miss joy. You miss the peace of God. I wouldn't trade the peace that God has given me in my heart for anything in this life. I'll never forget the 2 weeks before I was saved. Every night before I went to bed, there was one thought that the Spirit of God put inside of me every night. And God said to me, if you die, you're going to go to hell. God said to me, he said, if you die in your sleep, you're going to go to hell as sure as anybody ever will. And for almost 2 weeks, I went to bed every night. And the Spirit of God brought that thought every night before I go to sleep. Lord, just, you die in your sleep, you're going to go to hell. Man, I tell you, that thing kept ringing in my ears until I couldn't take it any longer. And one night I got down there beside my bed, and I said, Lord, I know nothing about you, I know nothing about the Bible. But I said, I know one thing, if I die in my sleep or any other time, I'm going to go straight to hell. I said, I don't want to go to hell. But I asked the Lord to save me, and save me, and save me, and save me. I asked him about 20 times. I said, now you hear it? I didn't know how good a hearing it was.
I just kept asking over and over again. I said, I want to make sure he gets it. Amen. Save me, you save me. I'll make sure this thing came out right. But I'm tired of that. I laid down on that bed that night, and something came and said, you die, you're going to hell. And just that quick Lord said, not now, not now, not now. And I tell you, I began to cry, and I laid on that bed. There was a peace of God in my heart that I'd never known before. And I wouldn't trade that. I wouldn't miss that for anything that this world has to offer. The peace and the assurance that God gives me in my heart. And I'm a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you're going to miss heaven. You're going to miss Jesus. You're going to miss everything good God wants to give you if you're not a Christian. Bob James Sr., when he was young, he was only 14 years old when his mother died. He had a big family. He said, I'll never forget it. He said, my heart was broken. He said, I guess it has never been broken before, because he said, at 14 years old, I was still very close to my mother. He said, I'll never forget the funeral. I'll never forget everything that was done. He said, I cried and I cried. And he said, at 14 years old, I couldn't understand why God had did it. I couldn't understand why God would take my mother from me. And he said, I knew she was in heaven. I knew she was with Jesus. But he said, yet still, I missed her so much. He said, that day we had the funeral, took her there to the grave site. We don't want to do things anymore like we used to. And he said, we took some of the dirt and threw it in first. We used to do that. We used to let the family take the shovel and throw it in. Family take a handful and throw the first handful in. And he used to stand there and watch them while they threw the dirt in there. Make you think. Make you think. Now today it's all pretty. They have the astroturf around there in the grass. With flowers and nice. And they lay it down there, you know. And you think about it a little while and it's kind of rusty away. But sometimes God wants you to think about that. And listen, if you've got a loved one that's saved, God wants you to think about it a lot. Because he doesn't want you to sorrow as others would shut my hope. Bob Jones said, I stayed there. And I stayed there until evening came. Stayed there. He said, I wept. And I cried. He said, all of a sudden, the thought came to me. He said, one of these days, I'm going to see Mother again. He said, when I see her this time, I'll never be separated from her. And he said, it was worth it all. He said this. He said, if I'm dreaming, that wasn't it. It wasn't the best dream. He said, if this is a dream, don't disturb me. For my religion hangs a rainbow of hope over the dust of my bed and kindles a smile on the brow of my bed. And such a myth that you might have picked. You missed the only hope that mankind has. And that's found in you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And I know for many of you this message is something that you've heard many a time. I know that some of you have heard about being a Christian all of your life. Yet maybe there's somebody here this morning that needed the message. God has laid it on my heart to preach for a reason. Maybe yours is the reason. So, well, God doesn't send people and give them a message just to preach to one person. Yes, he does. Philip went over and preached the whole message that unit. Just one person. One person. Maybe today somebody here. Maybe you're that person. Maybe today, if you look at your life, you've been misunderstanding all your life what a Christian is. Maybe you think because mom and dad were Christian, you're a Christian. Maybe you think because you have been baptized and a member of the church and you're a good person, you're a Christian. Maybe you think that because you believe about God, you're a Christian. My friend, you're not. You as an individual have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are not a Christian, according to the Bible definition. If you've never trusted Him as your own personal Savior, believed in Him, and you've never been saved.
If you've never been saved, you missed more than my lips could ever tell. Because some of the things that I know, these lips could not describe and tell. The joy, the peace, the assurance, the blessedness of being a Christian is something that can only really be experienced. And it's hard to tell how wonderful it is to be a Christian. It's hard. And yet if you've never been a Christian, you've missed it all. And far greater than that, if you're not a Christian, you're going to miss heaven. You're going to die, you're going to go to hell, and you're going to burn forever. You say, you shouldn't talk like that. I talk like that because I love you. And because I want to see you go to heaven. I don't want to see you go to hell. I want you to have the joy of knowing what it is to be a Christian, of knowing your sins are forgiven, and according to the Bible, knowing that heaven is your home. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, I'll ask you a question. You're here today, you've been saved. You know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Hold your hand up to that testimony. You've been saved and you know Jesus. Hold your hand up. Don't be ashamed of him. Not ashamed to call you his brother. Thank you. Put your hand down. As far as I could see, almost every hand was able to be raised. And yet there was maybe one, maybe two that couldn't see. You're here today and you're not saved. You're not sure of your salvation. You'd like for us to pray for you. Just put your hand up and put it down real quickly. We'll pray for you. Thank you. Someone else will raise their hand and say, I'm just not sure. Don't know that I've really been saved. Pray for me. Is there another? Just put it up and down quickly and we'll pray for you. This is something very serious. Something you ought to think about. All eternity weighs in the balance. You're not saved. You need to be. Father, bless the words of this message. Bless it to the hearts of those that have heard it. May those that are saved, may it strengthen them and encourage them. May it realize what we really do have in being. Those that are lost, Lord, may they be saved today. I beg, I plead, and I ask. Lord, today you have not let anybody leave this building without knowing for sure that they're saved. There could be one person here today that's lost. May the Spirit of God deal with their heart. May today they say yes to Jesus. May they accept him as their Savior. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. 222. 222. We're going to sing just a couple of verses of the invitation. If you're here today, you've never been saved, or you're not sure, you come as we sing together. 222. There is a count. I'm so glad as a Christian to know that every one of my sins have been forgiven. God's wiped them clean. When he looks at me, he has to look through the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful it doesn't just look at me. It'd be a mess. Amen. When he looks, I'm covered in the righteousness and blood of Jesus. Amen. That's what you miss from being a Christian. The thing is, Jesus paid for your sins. If you'll accept him, the payment will be made complete. If you reject him, you pay for it. You pay. You know what you pay? You pay the wrath of God poured out on you. You pay for eternity. When you stand against an eternal being, the payment is eternal. You pay for all eternity. If you don't know you're saved, come as we stand together on the second verse. Your salvation. That's the last thing on this earth I've settled to do. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and received Him, then you're saved. That's all you can do. Nothing more. But listen, if you're not sure, there's something that is very serious. And there's nothing any more serious than knowing that you're saved. That you know Jesus as your Savior. Today, that's what I want you to do. Make sure. You don't know for sure. Some will take the Bible, show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. You know that heaven is your home. You need to come. Come. Head bowed, eyes closed. Those that are saved, pray for these that have come. Thank you.
3 o'clock, band practice this evening. Don't forget the service tonight at 7. Now, you pray for some of these that will come. Some of them said, been saved, but just every now and then, some of the devil, something making me doubt. I just want to go through it and make sure they have been saved. That's the best thing to do. That's the best thing in this world to do. There's doubt, you're not sure, come, let me tell you the scripture. If you've been saved, you can leave rejoicing. If you're not saved, and you can get saved, leave rejoicing again. Amen? This is nothing to play around with. There's nothing you want to be more sure of than your salvation.